Well, I think I'm really loud. I feel like I'm having to whisper because I'm so loud. Could you turn me down just a tad, Rich? Okay, that's better? Good. Well, I had two different sermons prepared, and so as I woke up this morning, I went to one, and I just didn't have any peace about it, and the Lord was like, nah, at that one. Went to the next one, you know, and the Lord's like, no, I don't want you to preach out of there either. And then, oh man of faith that I am, you know, when the panic button kind of pushes, like, God, you have to give me something because I have to go before these people today, and I already was prepared, but He likes doing that, so He kind of changed gears. But He made real specific where He wanted me to preach from today. We'll be in 1 John chapter 4. We've been doing, in our Bible study, 1 John, we've been going through 1 John on our Tuesday night Bible studies, and I really enjoy it. It's one of my favorite books. Because if you want to talk or listen to anyone who knows about the love of God, it would be John, right? I mean, he's the one who had his head on Jesus' breast. He's the one who called himself the disciple that Jesus loved, you know, five times after that. If you've been coming to Wednesday night Bible study as Bishop's preaching through the book of John, I think we've been in it a year. What are we in, chapters like 7 or 8 now? So sometime before Jesus comes back, I think we'll finish it. But it's been really good because, you know, starting from the place of the love of God. So I was thinking today, I said, what better person? We just need to read sometimes what he has to say about the love of God. You know, get it from, and if you want to know about the grace of God, Paul. You know, Paul had a real revelation of the grace of God. So, you know, he really walked in it. So if you want to know about the grace of God, we read Paul, what Paul has to say about it, right? So, 1 John chapter 4. Now, when John wrote this book, one of the reasons I like it so well, there was a lot of false teachers had arisen at this time. There were false prophets, false teachers. And basically the teaching in the area that he wrote was this thing called Gnosticism. And Gnosticism was kind of like, and the word Gnostic means knowledge from the Greek word. It's like attaining this spiritual knowledge as you go through the world, that there was this being that kind of created the world and left it to its own, and it's corrupt and evil, and through this enlightenment and knowledge, my soul will become saved, or I'll obtain salvation from this world. I'll become detached from this world and finally enter this place of enlightenism through knowledge. Okay? That's kind of what was going on. And so they really embraced Christianity because they had this supreme being, God, who sent this lesser God, is what they would say, to the earth, Jesus, who came just to give us knowledge. And through this knowledge, we gain our enlightenment through the world and we become detached. It's kind of way out there, all right? So that's what was going on, and it kind of infiltrated the churches. And John wrote this letter to them just to say, no, man, here's this kind of black and white stuff. And that's really why I like it. You know, when he starts off about, you know, God is light, God is truth, and in Him there's no darkness, there's no deception in God. He's truth. And we've come to know, and our hands have handled, and we know there's somebody that you can get to know. It's a person. It's not just some concept or idea. We encounter this person. And he said, this is how you know if you've really encountered this person, because there's a lot of people in the church, and a lot of these false teachers that were proclaiming to know God, and yet their lives didn't show it at all. And he said, "This are some things that will follow you if you know God, if you've come to know Him, right?" And he said, "One, you'll just love the brethren, right?" He said, "If you say that you've come to know God, you'll love the brethren. Love will begin to pour out of your life. That's how you know if you've had a real encounter and a real heart encounter with the Lord." And two, it says, "You'll practice righteousness." There's this thing in you that wants to walk righteously before God, right? You want to live a righteous life. Or righteous just means right acts. That's what that word means of God. And he said, this is in chapter 3, this is how the children of God and the children of devil are obvious. One who practices righteousness is of God. One who does not practice righteousness is not of God. So he said, this is how you've come to know God. If there's this thing in you that really wants to practice righteousness, you know God. You've had an encounter with Him. And you've had an encounter with Him if you love the brothers. if there's love coming out of you, you know that you've come to know Him. And so the whole book is that. This is how you know. This is how you know. If you read it, this is how you know. This is how you know. So he was just confronting this thing, saying, you know, this is truth. God is truth. You know, it's a personal relationship with Him. And these things are evident in your life if you really come to know Him. And we know that. And a lot of the songs that Emery and Rick sang this morning was about knowing Him. You know. So let's turn to 1 John 4. I kind of gave you a little brief overview of that. 1 John chapter 4. So beloved, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Again, if you love, you've been born again. Not only have you been born again, but you know God. Okay? We all know that it's not enough just to be born again, right? God calls us to know Him. A relationship. This is an intimate knowing word. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And by this, the love of God was manifested in us, or made real to us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. Again, I was thinking this morning, just one of my prayers was, you know, Lord, you know, I know that You're saying in this is love, first, that I've got to know that You love me. I said, I want to know more than that. And if You say here that somehow Your love can be perfected in me, then that's what I'm asking You for. It's not enough just to know that You're love or know that You love me. There's something deeper that You want to do here in me and with all of us, right? That this love is brought to completion is what that word means, to perfection. He wants to bring His love to completion or perfection in my life. And there's a way that does it. Every day when we're up here at communion, there's a reason we say, you know, hear what our Lord Jesus Christ said. You'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul. And then the second commandment, Jesus says a cool thing, is like unto it. And that word almost means it's hitched to it, right? These two things go together. They have to work in tandem together. One, that we love God, but if we want to love God with all our heart, soul, everything that we have, then we have to love our neighbors ourselves. And these two commandments hang everything. All the law and prophets. All of Scripture, all of Christianity hangs on these two things. That we love God with all our heart and that we're loving our neighbors ourselves. And when that begins to happen, there's this thing, I don't really understand that, but the love of God becomes perfected in me. God begins to bring it to completion in my life. So again, it's not just enough for me to know that God loves me. That's where we all start, right? Is to have a revelation of God's love for us. And we do that by way of revelation. We have to hear Him speak that to us, right? Have you ever heard God speak that He loves you? I mean, that's a really cool thing. And it comes by way of revelation. I mean, God speaks it to my soul, and somehow, over a period of time, it just gets in there. Okay, I see it now, God. This is revelation. You love me. It's more than me just saying that to you, right? But He says, all right, let's take it further. Let's take it further, y'all. I'll use y'all. Let's let this love be perfected in us. Okay? By this we know, verse 13, that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit. We have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, and He in God. And we have come to know and have believed the love that God has for us. For God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. I think that's a really cool thing to me. It always has been, that verse. It's always a real challenge to me because I like going back and reading that. That I really can come to know and believe the love God has for me. And that word is experiential knowledge. It's out there. I can really come to know that and come to believe the love that God has for me. Because, see, when I do that, then he goes on to say that that means God abides in me and I in him. In other words, just in a nutshell, that means he's real to me. And he's alive and he lives in me. Okay? And I can really come to know this and I can really believe that for me. Okay? By this, love is perfected with us. Again, all right, Lord, you're telling me about getting this love perfected in me, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in the world. By this, the love of God is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. So, here's what he's getting us as he's perfecting this. He said, by this, this is how you're going to be perfected in love. Okay? And one thing this will do is it will put a confidence in you in the day of judgment. All right? Confidence is a really cool thing. Because as he is, so also we in the world. All right? As we walk in this love of God with each other, okay, that's how he was in this world. That's how the love of God is perfected in us as we walk. And one and two, it creates a confidence in you and in me in the day of judgment. All right? Now, in the day of judgment, which I really believe this is talking about, if you go read, I think in Matthew chapter 25, it talks about the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? That we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And at the judgment seat of Christ, what we're going to be judged by is not, you know, how many souls we've led to the Lord or how many books we've written, you know. You may write more books than Max Lucado, you know. And that's a good thing. They're good books. But that's not what we're going to be judged by, y'all. What we're going to be judged by is how much we loved. Right? If you go back and read the story when Jesus said he separates the goats and the sheep, you know, and he's saying to them, you know, when you saw me thirsty, you gave me drink. When you saw me hungry, you fed me. Naked, you clothed me. And when in prison, you came to visit me. And they were saying, Lord, when did we see you? Then, of course, y'all know the story. When you did it, the least of these, you've done it unto me. And a lot of theologians really believe that what Jesus is talking about is the judgment seat of Christ. It talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That when we go there, what God is going to judge us on is how much we love. So when John's talking about here that we have confidence in the day of judgment, he's saying, guys, if you'll love one another, he's like, trust me on this. If you love one another, you'll have confidence in the day of judgment. But I believe it speaks of something even deeper than that. I believe that when God's love is perfected in us, one, y'all, when we know how much he loves us, and as we're loving the brethren, that is increases in us, we have confidence when the accuser of our soul comes to try to judge us every day. And he's there to judge us, right? To condemn us, to accuse us, make us feel guilty, shameful, you name it. We all know it. He's the attacker of our soul, right? But see, the love of God gives you confidence in the day of judgment. Because you know what? This is all nonsense. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm not listening to that. And when, as I get in my relationship with the Lord, a greater revelation of God's love for me, it gives me confidence in the day of judgment. It gives me confidence when the enemy tries to come and accuse me. And as you read on in chapter 3 and read us, it talks about that, about having confidence in your heart. If your heart doesn't condemn you, you have confidence before God, right? So if God's always speaking to you how much he loves you, even in the midst of our failures, if we're, as Bishop always talks about, seated at his footstool, hearing him, it's just going to create a confidence in you. You know, you're not going to be easily swept away through guilt and fear and condemnation and those type of things. Okay? So it does two things, right? Gives us confidence now, and I'm going to have confidence in the day of judgment. Because that's what God is going to be looking and judging me by, is about how much I loved. All right? Loved each other. I have to put these on because when I look back down, everything is blurry. By this, all right, there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Okay? How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but I can raise mine. Because how many of us struggle with fear? Right? Well, there's only one thing that casts fear out of my life, and that's the love of God. Isn't that incredible? Perfect love casts out fear. Because if I'm a fearful person, I struggle with fear, I'm always going to be thinking about punishment. Right? Fear is always a belief in the worst case scenario of any situation. If you struggle with fear, you'll look at a situation and absolutely you'll think of all the worst things that could happen in this situation. Alright? So the opposite of fear is love. Right? It's not hate and love. It's fear and love, according to Scripture. And perfect love casts out fear in me. So if I struggle with fear, and fear is my deal, then there's only one way I can get set free from this fear. And that's to be perfected in love. Right? Knowing the love that God has for me will cast out fear in my life. Because in any situation, what I'm really saying is when I'm fearful, is God going to come through in this for me? Right? And you have the enemy there saying, has God not said He would do this? You know, where is He? You've been forsaken. Or you've done this. You've blown it. You've blown it here, buddy. It's over with. You know, curtains. No. It's the love of God that casts out fear. So fear is a real gift to a lot of us. And fear has been a real gift to me from the Lord. Because you know what? Fear keeps me at His feet. It does. It keeps me at His feet, hearing His words, and His words, the perfect love of God, begins to cast out my fear. Because in my life, fear has always involved punishment, somehow. Right? Isn't that true with you too? If you don't struggle with fear, hallelujah, you know. But there's only one thing that casts that out. It's His perfect love. The one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. And if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. This commandment we have from Him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. There's some real powerful words here. I'm going to have to take a drink of this water, y'all, and I do not know how old it is, but I'm about to die here. I'm not sure it's even water. Whew, good. Sorry about that. That's pretty old. Oh my gosh. Man. Anyway, we had a really good discussion about this in our little Bible study because in the English language, the word hate carries such a negative, I mean a seriously negative weight, right? And we've all said this. I've said this to you. I don't hate them. I just don't like them. You know? I don't hate them. I just, you know, I can't stand them, but I don't hate them. Okay? The Scripture says I can't hate them, but I can do everything in the book other than hate. Okay? But you know what that word really means? It means to reject a person. If someone says, I love God, and let's put it in the original language, and rejects his brother, is a liar. Because how can you love God whom you've seen, and you can't love your brother whom you've not seen? Right? So, I think we all kind of fall into that category. I know for me, it was a real challenge for me to think about that, you know. Well, I can't say I just really hate, but is there anyone that's my brother that I just don't like? You know? They've just kind of held at arm's length or whatever. So I like to go back over this and just have the Lord do like this scan, like a CT scan or something, you know, over me. All right, Lord, is there any brother that I have, which means brother or sister, you know what that means, y'all, that I feel this way towards? You know? Because I really want to know you. And there's no way, you say, that I can love you and hate my brother. It just doesn't work. Because remember, the first and second commandment work in tandem together. They operate together. And I just can't do this. Right? I'm not saying that, you know, I have to draw healthy boundaries. Y'all have to figure all that out. You know, anytime you start saying healthy boundaries and all that, and that's important and that's good. But you know, as God begins to move in our midst and this revival is being poured out, y'all, this is what we've got to deal with, right? Loving each other. Loving God means that I've got to love each other. And if His love is going to be perfected in me, and it's going to cast out my fear and all these things, then I've got to face the deal. And several times He speaks in here about that, you know, loving your brother. Oh, you brought me some good water. Thank you so much. I feel like Bear Grylls on, what's that guy that eats bugs and stuff like that? Man versus Wild. I just drank a glass full of bugs. Thank you, Pat. I appreciate that. Okay, again. I'm not going to stand up here and be repetitive, but I think this is a word that the Lord really wants us to hear. Because we've been hearing a lot about the love of God, right? We hear about that all the time, which is really cool, because God is love. That's just who He is. But He wants to take each one of us, and He wants to perfect this love in our hearts. Okay? He wants to perfect this love in our hearts and give us more of Him. And the only way that's perfected in our hearts is that when we love one another. And when we love one another, God abides in us and we get a greater revelation of His love for us. I can't move like steps. I can't move from revelation to revelation to revelation to revelation in love for God if I'm not moving in the steps at the same time with the other foot of loving my brother, loving my brother, loving my brother, loving my brother. Okay? It's like trying to hop up steps with one leg. You know, you're only going to go so far. Right? The other leg is, just like the two commandments, loving God, one, loving my neighbor, two. As I go up there, right? God's kind of making it simple for us, okay? And as that love is perfected in me, the second thing is that God says, I'm going to cast out fear out of you. Because perfect love casts out fear. That's just what it does, all right? Because fear involves punishment. Third thing it's going to create in you is a confidence. That you're just going to walk confidently on the earth. You know that? When you really know God loves you and you have a real heart revelation of it, you're confident no matter what happens to you. Right? So that's a pretty cool thing, I think, that God wants to do with us, to take this congregation to deeper levels. And let Him challenge on it. Let Him do a CT scan. Let Him do that scan like, you know, it's just you and God. And see if there's anything that's tripping you up. It's keeping you from loving your brother. And it's real simple. Just forgive him. And as John, last time I spoke, I think we talked on Matthew chapter 18. And the guy said, I was having a hard time forgiving. He said he was just unwilling, however. That's usually where we find ourselves. We're just unwilling. It's not that we cannot, it's that we will not. All right? So, as we're moving in this direction together, y'all, the love of God, just remember these simple things that John lays out. Let's listen to the guy who knows more about the love of God than anyone in history. John. Amen? All right. Let's stand.